Over the last several weeks and a month or so, we've talked about the prodigal son, and we've told in that we were telling our prodigals or anyone that would listen that they're always welcome home, right? And I still believe that, and we're still going. We throughout this year we are going to focus on that in some way, form, or fashion. That we want to see people come to know Christ. We want them to feel welcome in this house. Last week we talked about bringing life to dead situations, and this morning we're going to look at storms and what our response should be to storms. And you know, our natural response when we see a storm or when we're facing a storm in life is typically to ignore it, right? If we ignore it long enough, it'll go away, right? Yeah, some of y'all do that when people knock on your door. If we ignore them long enough, they'll go away. You try to repress them. You try to hit the escape button, so to speak. And when you think about it, when you have a problem and something's going on, we have a tendency to just kind of go, it doesn't exist. If I'm not telling it it exists, then it doesn't exist, right? If I don't acknowledge it, then it doesn't exist. Some of you won't go to the doctor because you're like, if I don't go to the doctor, then they can't tell me what's wrong with me, so there's nothing wrong with me.
That's me.
I'm not going. Chelsea's like, you probably should go get that checked out. If I don't know what the problem is, then there's nothing wrong, right? Nothing wrong with me. I'm still going. Some of you are the opposite, though. You're like, if there's any little thing that's wrong with you, you're dying. I had an aunt that she was a hypochondriac. Every time I talked to her, there was something life-threatening that was happening. It's just always. I'm glad that she didn't have access to the internet, because some of y'all do, and you get on WebMD, and before you know it, you have some infectious disease that you most surely will die from. It's bad. It's real bad. It's horrible. And you repress it, and you push it back. You're going to deal with it later, right? Big problems turn into bigger problems. But I'm just going to hit this escape button. It's all over. It didn't happen. And that can be, we can do that with not just things in general, but just all types of behavior and destructive things in our lives. We try to get out of whatever the storm is. If you've been serving Jesus for very long, or if you're a Christian at all, you face storms in life. And before you came to faith, you faced storms. So being a Christian is not a get out of storm free card. We still face storms. The problem is, regardless of whether you're pressing a storm, or you ignore a storm, or you just kind of go crazy over a storm, or you try to hit the escape button, so to speak, whenever you're done with whatever activity that you're doing, the storm is still there. The problem is still there. The situation is still there. It doesn't change it. I heard a story recently, and I fact-checked it because I'm that guy, and there it was about two types of herd animals. Two types of herd creatures, and they respond to impending storms differently, totally opposite of fact. The first is a cow. Now, when cows see a storm coming, let's say from the west, then when they see the storm, they begin to run east. They try to outrun the storm. And most of you know that cows aren't real fast unless it's a mad mama cow, and then all bets are off. The problem is that because they're not incredibly fast, inevitably the storm catches up with them. And then they wind up just running with the storm, because when the storm hits them, they don't stop. They just keep going. They try to outrun it, even in the midst of it going all around them. And the storm overtakes them, and what happens is they produces longer, more difficult time in the storm. And there's another herd creature, the buffalo, that acts totally different. When they see a storm coming in the west, and it's coming towards them, they will stop, and they will turn, and they will face the storm. And they will wait for the storm to come as close as it can, And when the storm is right in front of them, they begin to run into the storm. And by running directly into the storm, they minimize the amount of time that they're in the storm, the amount of damage, and they're able to get through to the other side with a minimal amount of impact. In both of these scenarios, both herds, the storm is coming. There's no way to avoid the storm. One tries to run away from it, repress it, escape, and winds up causing more harm and more damage and more duress. And the other one faces it head on. When the storm is on us, be the buffalo. Not the cow, be the buffalo. The buffalo faces the storm. It looks at the storm, waits for the storm to get right in front of them, and then charges into the storm in order to have minimal amount of conflict, pain, and carnage on the other side. And in Isaiah 43, it talks about being the buffalo. It doesn't say buffalo. You're just going to have to bear with me this morning. In Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east and west." This morning we're going to focus a little, mostly on verse 2 of chapter 43 here. It says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you walk through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." But the first word in this verse, the first word says, when. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of will. It's a matter of when the storm comes. It's not a matter of if we're going to face these situations. It's a matter of when we face these situations. It's when. Storms are going to happen. Problems are going to happen. Isaiah is a prophet of God in the Old Testament, the biggest of all. And he is telling Israel, who is going into this exile that's going to happen, that they are going to be overtaken. They are going to become captive to Babylon. They are going to be captive to the Medes and then the Persians. It's 100 years from now before it happens. But they're going to be taken captive because of a lot of things. Because of their waywardness towards God. Because of the kind that they turned their back on God. Because of their unfaithfulness toward God. God is trying to get their attention. And Isaiah is telling them 100 years from now. He's talking 100 years before Daniel here, that this is, that before they actually become captive, before it takes place, he's telling them this is going to happen. What you need to know is it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He says, when you, it's coming. Nobody wants to go through a storm. Nobody wants to deal with a storm. Nobody wants to deal with a problem or an issue, but it happens to all of us. It happens. There are going to be problems in your life. There are going to be problems in your marriages. There are going to be problems with your kids. There are going to be problems with your family. You are going to have problems. It's going to happen. There's going to be problems at work. There's going to be problems at church. There's going to be problems in relationships. There's going to be problems with the in-laws and the outlaws. There's going to be problems. Life has problems. In this world, you will have problems. Jesus said that. And Isaiah is telling you when it happens. problems and storms in life are going to happen. You can't avoid them. You can't get, but you can get through them. You can't dance through the rain and not get wet. Today, you're going to get wet. But he uses the word through. Verse 2, he says, when you go through deep waters, when you go through rivers of difficulties, when you walk through the fire of oppression. He uses the word through three times. Anytime you see something in Scripture that repeats itself in the same passage, it's probably trying to get your attention. It's probably trying to highlight something. See, God's deliverance, what he's saying here, is through. Isaiah rarely is he's saying, it's rarely you're just going to get out of it and not have to go through it. He's saying, you are going to have to go through it. You know, our prayer is typically, I need out of this situation. I need out of this problem. And then we get frustrated when God doesn't see us out. Right? We're like, I didn't want to do this part of it. I wanted it to stop at the very beginning. When I saw it coming, I wanted to run the other way. I wanted you to turn it. I wanted you to send it north, south, not towards me. I didn't want this. I didn't want to be in the middle of it. But he wants to see you through it. Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he's getting ready to die on the cross, and he's sitting there and he's praying, and he said, Father, if there's any way, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will. He was praying, take me out of this situation. I don't want to be in this situation. But not my will, but your will. Take this cup. We know that he was praying for hours because the disciples that are all around him fell asleep. And he looks at them and wakes them up at one point and he says, can you not just pray with me for an hour? That's what I want to say to some of these teenagers at the 5 o'clock prayer meeting. Can you not pray with me for an hour? I don't even ask you for a whole hour, just 45 minutes. So we know that he was there for a while. And he prays the same prayer. Take it away. But not my will, but your will. He's wrestling with it. He's fighting with it. Jesus wanted to get out. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. God's deliverance in your life, whatever problem, situation, or circumstance that you're facing, very, very rarely, is it ever out. You're praying for your kids to get out. You're praying for you to be out of this trouble, to be out of this situation, to be able to escape this, to be able to get out of this, to be able to avoid this, to be able to get out of jury duty. You can't get out. You got to go through. Very, very rarely is the answer, the solution, out. Most of the time, it's through. That's the reason why we need to be buffaloes. You're not going to outrun the storm. You're not going to get away from the storm. If you run away from your problem, you're going to find that problem again. You're not going to be able to get away from it. And so you need to turn and run to it. You're not going to be able to run it. You're not going to be able to get away from it. And in doing so, you're probably, well, as you're running away, going to cause yourself more harm and more frustration. And God very rarely is going to take you out of the situation. Most of the time, he's going to take you through it. So what does he take you through? The first thing it says, when you go through deep waters, through the waters. Isaiah is prophesying to Israel. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. But if you go to Galatians, Paul says that we as Gentiles through Jesus Christ have been grafted into the vine. We are adopted into the body of Christ so that Every promise in the book, Old Testament and New Testament, is ours. So this through the waters, what Isaiah was referencing here was he was referencing Israel crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. He's speaking to the nation that would have remembered this. They would have remembered crossing that their ancestors crossed the Red Sea. Do you remember when God brought you out through the waters? Do you remember when he brought you out of the bondage of slavery? When you were on your way to the promised land, he brought you through the waters. Do you remember when Pharaoh and his army was coming in behind you? And there were all of you, million people, unarmed. And you're standing there, completely helpless and hopeless because you left your horses that he's using to chase you down. And you're facing the Red Sea. And Moses lifted his staff and the waters parted. And you, million of people, walked right across on dry ground. Moses said, told him, don't leave no hoof behind. Okay? No hoof left behind. Some of y'all get that later, it's all right. Some of you don't have kids and you won't get it at all, it's okay. It wasn't just the people crossing, it was their animals that were crossing. They all went across. As soon as the last one got to the other side, what happened? Pharaoh's army was closing in, about to overtake them, and the waters came through and destroyed the army of Pharaoh. And God brought them through the river. He didn't allow them to escape it. He brought them through it. They didn't get out of the situation. He allowed them to go through the storm, and he allows you to go through the storm as well. He says, I will bring you through deep waters, and I will be with you. There's comfort in the middle of the storm. You are not alone. He says he will be with you through these waters. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. And whatever problem you're facing today, whatever storm you're facing today, you're probably not going to get out of it. You're probably going to have to walk through it, but you're not walking through it alone. He will be with you, and he'll never leave you. This is the reason why just going and coming to church and getting your little fill up once a week doesn't work in your life. You have to have a day in, day out relationship with Jesus. You have to talk with him. You have to read his word. You have to spend time in devotion. Just getting the one time once a week, come to church and leave and wondering why is things not getting better? What are you doing to help the situation? I could spend a long time here. I won't. Storms are going to come up. And very rarely is God going to get me out of it. Most of the time, he's going to walk with me through it. But he'll be with me every step of the way. The second thing he said is, he said, when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Rivers would have been a reference again to when they were crossing the Jordan into the promised land in Joshua chapter 3, when Israel left the bondage and the slavery and the slavery of Egypt, and they had been in the desert for 40 years and God had provided for them every day. And Moses now has died and Joshua is in command, and he's going to take them across the Jordan so that they could take possession of the promised land that God had given them. They've gone from slave people to nomadic people to now they're going to be agricultural people. They're going to sit down and put down roots in the promised land that God has given them, all the way back to Abraham in the book of Genesis is when he said, made the first promise. And he says, through the rivers, Joshua 3 says, the river was at flood stage, so it wasn't just a little water. It was not an ideal time to cross in the natural storm, the danger of the floodwaters. Some of y'all crossed creeks this morning. The waters are probably pretty rolling. I drove last night because I didn't drive enough during the day. I decided to drive some more last night. And we went to some down some county roads, and I got to one end, I got to one bridge on one county road, and I was like, I don't know, there's too much water. I can't tell if that's going to be able to cross it. Let's go to the other side and see if we can get to that point. So we went to the other side and came to another bridge that wasn't the first bridge, and it was completely washed out. And there is a house that is a quarter mile between that bridge and the next bridge, and there is a house. I could see it up on the hill, and I'm like, they just stuck. They're not getting out. I hope they have another way out because it's not on this road. They're at flood stage, right? The creeks are up. I don't know that I want to walk across Big Creek right now on one of those bridges, right? But this is when God tells them to cross. Again, be the buffalo. God never called you to be a cow. He said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, right? Cows have fear. Don't look at the storms in life and run from them. Why? Because first of all, through the waters, he's going to be with you. Secondly, through the rivers, when the natural says, don't do this, God in the supernatural says, I'm going to be with you through the river. Even when it's dangerous, even when it's deadly, even when it's not an opportune time, it's that not the most of the time when God shows up, it's all the time. He's seldom ever early though, right? He's never late. He's always on time. But I wish God would sometimes show up early. Just once in a while. Early would be nice. Right? I know some of y'all are so much more spiritual, y'all. But God wants us to trust him. And he's growing us. And he's developing us. And he said, through these rivers, they will not overwhelm you. What does that mean? You're not going to die. You're going to live to die another day. You're still going through this river, but it's not going to take you out. 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it's through these times that we walk through the rivers, not over the rivers, not around the rivers, not waiting for the flood stage to go away. But when God says to go, we go. When God says to stop, we stop. We are people of the cloud. Cloud by day, fire by night. When God wanted the people, the children of Israel, to move, he told them they would move with the cloud during the day and follow the fire at night. And they would follow. And they would following the leading of the Lord. And when you follow the leading of the Lord, you're not going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to die. The storm is not going to take you out. And if you know the storm is not going to take you out, why run from it? Why run from it? If you know the storm can't take you out, why fear it? If you know the storm is not going to overwhelm you, why not be the buffalo and stand there and wait for it to come and then charge in with everything you got? My trust is in the Lord, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to get through the storm, and I will charge in head on. If that's what it takes, because God's going to be with me. And God's not going to let it overwhelm me. He's not going to let it take me out. Sometimes the flesh is weak. And so our bodies sometimes fail us. Our minds sometimes fail us. Our emotions can really play tricks on us. But it's our spirit. It's that faith. It's that trust. Not in myself, but in the Lord. That I can charge through the storm. That when I go through the waters, he'll be with me. When I go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm me. And then he says, through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. And people can read this and say, he's talking about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were in the fiery furnace, and God saw them through it. And the problem is with that is that the two things prior to that he talked about had already come to pass. He was referencing them. He wasn't saying this wasn't going to happen again, but he was referencing them. This had not happened yet. The fiery furnace wouldn't happen for another 100 years. Can you say that he's referring to the fiery furnace? Because it hadn't happened, so how could he refer to it? He already referred to the waters of the Red Sea, and he already referred to the Jordan River. It already happened. That had been years behind them. But Isaiah is a prophet. And a prophet sees what will be and what's going to be. And he's speaking, and he's speaking even prophetically here in the words of God. He is saying that to the nation of Israel, you are not going to die. The captivity is not going to overtake you. God is still going to be with you. He's still going to be there. He's still going to walk through there. And so the waters and the rivers speak of the past. But God's not done. He's not done. And it's important that you talk about the past. It's important that we refer to the past. It's important that we tell our kids where God has brought us from. It's important that when God does something incredible in our lives, that we share it with our kids. It's important. But we can't get hung up in the past. We have to. It's important for us to talk about when God showed up, because it builds faith. The water never overtook us. The river didn't destroy us. We are going to win. We're going to win because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's speaking prophetically, though, of Daniel's time, because knowing that this is going to be in Scripture, knowing that we're going to read this with the benefit of perspective, he's speaking into the future and into the future storms that come. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in my past, I know that he can do in my present, and I know that he will do in my future. And when you go through the fire, you'll not be burned. Because we know that in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, that he threw them into the furnace. And he was so angry that the furnace would have been turned up 7 times hotter than it had ever been. The men who carried the boys burned up. Like, I have this picture in my mind. They're walking, and they're walking, and they're almost to the edge. And the dudes who are pushing them along, ashes. And they're like, well, boys, we might as well jump. And they come out, and they don't even smell like smoke. And when Nebuchadnezzar is sitting up there looking in, he says, we only threw 3. Why are there 4? And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. And we believe that that would be Jesus. Because he says, you'll go through the fire, you'll not be burned. You'll not be consumed. There'll be no effects to live with after the fire. There are no scars. You don't even smell like it. Not consumed. You're gonna live. You're gonna live. So whether you've gone through or going through the rivers of waters or through the fire, understand that the storms and the trials and the hardships of life come. Be the buffalo. Don't run. As a Christ follower, don't run. If you're not in with Jesus, maybe you should run. I don't know what you should do. You should come to know Jesus. You should ask him to come into your life if you haven't. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. But so if you haven't, maybe you need to be like the cow and try to outrun the storm. But in Christ and Jesus and having that, we can stand firm. We can stand firm knowing that he will be with us through every one of these situations. What did he say in verse 1? He said, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you. And because we've been grafted in, that we talked about the vine through Jesus Christ, he's speaking to us. Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God is creator. And he is once again speaking to his creation, acknowledging that he's the creator. And because he's the creator, he has the power to redeem. And as creator, he is free from any restraint or any system in which he created. So the natural effects and the natural ways and the natural laws can be suspended because the creator has decided they should be suspended. Amen. We've talked about this when Jesus in the miracles, he suspended nature to heal people. Dude's born blind. Somehow, he sees trees. It was people. God says, hold on, let me spit again. He didn't have the optic nerve that went from his eyes to his brain. He suspended it. He's not bound by the restraints that you and I are bound by. And so he declares the judgment to them will not destroy them, but will refine them. The judgment that he had already told them was going to happen. Isaiah had already told them in chapter 5, verse 13, "So my people will go into exile far away because they do not know me. They are great and honored, will starve, and the common people will die of thirst." He's already warned them. He's told them it's going to happen. But there's nothing to fear. He's saying now, 40 chapters later, there's nothing to fear. They're about to go into captivity, and he's letting them know, I am the Creator, and I am going to redeem you. I am going to allow you to go through the process. I am going to allow you to go through the river, through the water, through the fire, not to destroy you, but to prove to you once again who I am. To prove to you once again that I am faithful, even when you're not. To prove to you once again that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I am the great I am. That I've not forgotten you. That I've not forsaken you. That you are not lost. That this is not something that I did back in time in history, but I will not do it in your lifetime. Lord saying, I created you. The personal relationship with God and his people, the reoccurrence of the personal pronouns of I and you that is used here, all the way through this chapter, you'll see I and you, the creator and the creation. He gives himself to the creation. God is constantly giving himself to us, saying, I will always redeem you. Think about it. You might be saying, but I blew it. I blew it big time. I failed. I failed the Lord. But he's still going to redeem you. I've not measured up. He's still going to. Because of that's who he is. He's the creator. He's a father. A good, good father. There's no way that he can't do that. Look at the prodigal son. The guy blew everything. He treated his father like trash. He told him, I would rather you be dead. And the father, the sign, the showing, it was like our Father. He opened his arms and welcomed him back. Welcomed him back. That's who his nature is, and his very essence is. So therefore, that's who he is. That's what he's going to do. And it doesn't mean it's going to be an absence of trouble or an absence of storm, but it means he's going to walk with you. He's always going to redeem you, and he's always going to be faithful even when you're not. I don't know what storm you're facing today, and you might have completely brought up on yourself. Or it might have been one of those storms that just popped up. It happens. It's life. But the way of the cow has not been working for you. Trying to outrun and avoid the storms of life and everybody watching you, the Lord himself goes, this is crazy. What are they doing? There's no way that critter is ever going to outrun this storm. It's not possible. Today, whatever the storm you're facing, be the buffalo. Stand firm on God's word and face the storm. Not in your own merit or your own strength. It'll take you out in your own strength, but in him. Not because you know he's going to take you out of it, because you know that he's going to take you through it and he's going to be there with you. So when you stand firm on God's word and you can face that storm, call it out for what it is. And then run. Not away. Toward it. And don't let anyone tell you that you can't. Don't let anyone tell you that it's going to overwhelm you. Don't do it, because it won't. Don't let anyone tell you that it's going to take you out, because it won't. Run and go through it, and allow him to go through it with you, because chances are he's not going to allow you to avoid it. He's trying to develop and to grow you. Remember, struggle is what produces strength in our life. Every single time, Jesus says, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Struggle. Let him take us to his cross. Struggle. Let him take it. Let him follow me. It's a struggle. Be the buffalo and let him be with you. I must give everyone the wood to stand to your feet today. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the storms of life, God. We know that storms come. There are things that we can't seem to get around, God. There are things that we face. It's things that you allow and things that we bring upon ourselves. Lord, I just pray that today, that we are people that become like the buffalo. That we are people who will stand and face the storm and not run away from it. That we won't try to avoid it. That we don't just hope that it'll go away, but that we'll face it. That we'll face the storm. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I'm tired of being the cow. I'm tired of trying to avoid the storm. I'm tired of running away from the storm. I'm ready to about face. I'm ready to be the buffalo. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you're in a situation today where you're dealing with a physical issue or another situation or something that's going on that's affecting you. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're facing a storm. And you say, today I need strength to be the buffalo. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it this morning. You're facing a struggle. You've been running away from it. And today you say, I'm ready to run towards it. I'm ready to face it and get it over with. I want to invite you to come. We all face storms. We all face situations. Are you walking with him this morning? If you're not walking with him, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to invite you to come. If you're not where you need to be with Christ, or you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come. Lord, I just thank you right now. Lord, I thank you for getting us through the storms, through the waters, past the fire, God. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that if there are people in this room that are facing these situations, God, that you will guide them. That they won't run away from it, but they'll run through it with you by their side. Whether it's rivers of difficulty, whether it's fire of oppression, Lord, I pray that you help them to get through it today. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you today. In your name we pray, amen. Today is Senior Sunday, and we're going to honor our seniors. We have three, and I'm going to invite them to come. We've got Cody and Caleb and Trinity. We have a little gift for them, and then we're going to pray for them and with them.